Sometimes I've got to do it myself, don't I? It's unbelievable. It's hard to get a good help anywhere, isn't it? So, how are we all this morning? Yeah, good. I don't know if Dave set me up to preach long or not, but I'm not going to. Short sermon's a good sermon, amen? Yeah, good. We'll keep it short and sharp, and hopefully you'll glean something this morning. One thing I hate is, well, I won't say I hate, but we all come to the start of a new year and we all start to our New Year's resolutions and all that sort of thing. And then we stand up the front here, say we, as other preachers do as well, and we preach the old New Year sermon. I hate it. It's a really bad thing. We sort of talk about, we're at the threshold, the step of a new year. We're about to start all this something new. But God's new every day. He's not just new in the 1st of January and in the start of the year, but God's new every day. So we shouldn't have to preach New Year sermons, but what's he gone and done? He's gone and stuck me with something talking about new again today. It's like, Dave spoke last week about 2024 being taking the mindset of being the same old as 2023. He reminded us about God being able to do the impossible with our possible and having that mindset that we can move forward into what God's got for us. I think what holds us back is we become creatures of habit. How many people got habits? There's good habits and bad habits. You say, well, I don't have any habits. Did you have a shower this morning? Did you towel yourself off dry? Did you do it the same way you did it yesterday? You have a habit. I'm sorry. Did you have coffee this morning? Did you put sugar in it? Did you stir the sugar in? I'm sorry, you've got a habit. The problem with habits is they cause us to react the same way every time. You know, and so we find ourselves in different situations, some good, some bad, some otherwise. And as the old saying goes, I know boats. But what happens is when we come into these sticky situations, we start to react the same way. Because we know it's a bit of a comfort situation. We just know it. We fall into this way of doing because that's the way we always do it. Can I tell you, this is 2024 and we haven't been this way yet. Other than God, nothing yet has been predetermined. We come in with a blank slate in front of us. And again, I hate preaching these New Year sermons. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." The beauty of the day is not that it's new, but it's that we are being made new. The glory of the day is not that it marks a change, but it's that we are being changed by Him. You know, there's power in a new beginning. There's great power and fulfillment as we start to step into what God has. It causes a greater scope to come in front of us and gives us an ability to transition into this new beginning that God is creating for us. We know 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come." God wants to come and empty out the old this morning. Just because we've done it one way and it's worked so many times for us, just because we know how to do this doesn't mean this is the way. This is 2024, and as I said, we haven't lived it yet, so we have a blank slate to move. Just because we go back to the old habit doesn't mean it's the right way. God wants to come this morning, and in the ensuing days, He wants to teach us and train us in a new way. He wants us to have godly habits that go beyond our own capacity into His divine capacity. Just because we know how to do it doesn't mean that it's going to be the right way. Isaiah 43 says, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. So now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" You know, my response is, I was just spending some time around this in the week, was, God, I haven't been this way. but lead me and guide me. Teach me so that I know what you want to do, and in that you'll unleash the power of heaven into my life and into this place. Matthew 9, 16 and 17 says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, because the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and they are preserved. Have you ever understood that concept? You know, in the days when they used animal skins and other things to store wine in. And of course, when the wine, in the process, it ferments. And as it ferments, it expands. So the wineskin will expand, or whatever they've used will expand out. So you end up with the liquid in there and the wineskin has stretched. But then you come and pour new wine into that wineskin that already stretched, it's going to burst. God wants to come and put new wine in, but he can't put it into the old wineskin. He wants to rebirth something new. He wants to come and teach us and mold us and shape us in something new, so that new thing he's going to bring into each one of our lives, and even into this place as a church, that it's going to be new, it's going to be special, but we can't fall back into the old. As soon as we do, it's just going to burst out. We won't be able to contain it. We need to contain it so that we can harness it and use it. Now, when Jesus was talking to John the Baptist a bit later, he said he was talking about that he was going to do something completely new, but John couldn't understand it. He tried to make sense of it, but through using the lens of what he knew and what he understood at that time, you know, through looking at old things. But if he'd looked and tried to understand through the old ways that he'd already known, he would have missed the great amazing thing that was actually going to happen in front of him, with Jesus coming to redeem himself. Now, if people expected it to look, if those people expected this to look familiar so they could try and understand it, they were going to miss it. Matthew 11, 4-6, it says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Because the blind are receiving sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are clean, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Now, Jesus was encouraging the people around him to stop focusing on his behavior, what he was particularly doing, because they couldn't understand it and they were not going to understand it or anything that they knew at that point in time. But he was encouraging them to look at the fruit of what was happening around him. When people start to focus on the fruit of what's happening, it was happening around Jesus at the time, it was easier to see God at work. It was easy to not get distracted, because if you tried to use or if they tried to reference things back to the religious systems of the day, they would not and they could not understand, because God was doing a new thing. When we focus looking at what God was doing, what Jesus was doing, suddenly the fruit then gives us the keys to understand. It's almost like it decrypts what we're trying to understand. It makes it understandable. It brings a clarity to us, so we have the new lens to now view things through. But we need to focus on the fruit and not on necessarily what is going around us based on what we knew. Matthew 7 says in 15 to 20, just paraphrasing it slightly, it says, watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. It says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Watching the fruit, understanding, using that as the lens to understand. will help us understand and get to know what God is trying to do. He wants to come today and refresh and refill each one of us. He wants to bring transformative power into each of our lives that goes right into the heart of who and the being of who we are. Now we each will sort of, we've all come to places where we've seen, God, I want something more, I want something new. But it's the time where we need to leave behind the old so we can step into the new and to take advantage of what the new looks like. We need to put off the old. We need to let God do something new and special that He hasn't done before. Are you prepared to let God go deep? Are you ready for a visitation of God? Because God will, and He wants to make us the people that He wants us to be. Now we read stories, and you've probably heard people relating stories of people like Oral Roberts and Smith Wigglesworth. How they would raise the dead, and you go, gee, it'd be wonderful to do that, wouldn't it? I heard one of Smith Wigglesworth was in a train carriage. Just a normal punter, travelling on the train. The presence of God was so, so great that one man stood and said, "Your presence convicts me of sin." He bowed the knee to Almighty God, accepted Him as Christ of his life. And before the train reached its destination, that whole carriage had come to Christ. How good would that be? Now we hear and read stories about these incredible people of God. We get inspired about it, don't we? Can you feel your faith rising a little bit? But I'm talking in the past tense. And we do too. But I bring it to the present tense. We're not talking about a different Holy Spirit. We're talking about the same Holy Spirit. The convicted of sin and that carriage came to Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus Christ when He was on the earth is the same Holy Spirit that is right here, right now, in you and in me. The same Holy Spirit that did the signs and wonders back there that we go, "I can't raise the dead." Rubbish. It's the same Holy Spirit. What is the old song we used to sing? I'm not sure I'm aged now. "If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal bodies as His Spirit dwells in you." I'm showing my age now, aren't I? That's really bad. John 14:12, as we know, says, "Greater things will you do because I go to my Father." So we can look forward and go, well, okay, they've raised the dead in the past. I can do greater now. As I take on and start to understand what it is that God is putting before us and looking through that lens. If we're born again, He resides in us up, and it's up to us to say, "God, I open my life to You. Come and fill me afresh this morning." Or on a daily basis, "Come and fill me afresh. Fill my life. Do something like You've never done before." And we've got to realize, how many times have we prayed it? Do we realize that when we actually say these words that He will do it, and He does it? It's not will, get rid of the word will. When we pray these words, He does it. He'll take us, if we want Him to, He'll take us far beyond anything that we can do into our capacity, into His supernatural capacity. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about spiritual gifts. The pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers. You go, yeah, that's good. That sounds good. That's for the pastor. That's the senior leader. Dave can have all them. I don't really see anywhere in Scripture that says it's just for Dave. I don't see any Scripture that says, there's one for me, and Jessica's got one, Ben's got his little one. No. It says, verse 10 says, "Each of you, God has given you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts, that being powered by the Holy Spirit, unleashes the unlimited resources of heaven that flows through both you and me. Can you feel a little shift, a little rise in your faith that this might be able to be possible? Romans says, for just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body. Each member belongs to the others, and we've got difference according to each one given to us, and so on and so on. Now, as Dave was saying this morning, ever wondered why when you come to church, it feels so good? Now, there's a harmony, there's a buzz that happens when we come together. There's an area of expectation that starts to rise, and an excitement, because God's weaving his giftings together. He's bringing the gifting that's in you, in you, in you, in you, in you and me, and he starts to bring them together, and they start to complement each other. They start to work together, and a buzz happens in the room. You know, faith rises. The things you can start to believe for things that you probably couldn't or you wouldn't want to try and believe for before. You can start to step out into something you never thought you could before. You know, anointing arises. It's why we need to be here in church. Absolutely need to be here, because as we bring our giftings that God has put on each one of our lives, as it comes together, one sharpens the other, one brings in the other piece. Like the jigsaw puzzle, we've got holes in the jigsaw puzzle. We can fill those holes of the jigsaw puzzle by being here in church. Amen. Allow the anointing of God to flow as we come together and build a solid, united body together in Jesus' name. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, when Paul's talking to Timothy, in verse 6 it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is given to you through the laying of hands." There's something important in that verse that I think is overlooked. Well, not overlooked, but sort of glossed over when we read it. Now, how many people have received words from God? You've got a conviction in your heart that you know that God's saying something to you. What are you doing about it this morning? What are you doing about it? There's three words in there. Paul's saying to Timothy to fan into flame what God has given you. When you allow the Holy Spirit to come and blow, suddenly the world takes on a new perspective. Your problems, your challenges, life takes on a whole new perspective. Shouldn't we wake up every morning and say, "Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Whatever you need to do, I want to serve you. Today, whatever you want to do, change me, fill me. Lead me into your new." So are you ready for the new? As I said, 2024, we haven't been here. We can say, well, it's just going to be the same as last year. But it doesn't have to be if you will allow God to have his way. God's in the transformation business. He took a guy like Moses and said, "I've got all these Israelite people here." And Moses probably said, "Well, I'm just one guy. What can you do with me? I'm one guy. There's this whole nation of Israel." And God said, "But you're the man. I want you to take these guys on a journey and lead them to my promised land." 2024, God's got an adventure for each one of us. And it's full of hope, it's full of blessings, if we just let him take control and lead us. Reaching out is really what it's all about this morning. Reaching out and taking, understanding and knowing who God is and what God wants to do in each one of our lives. This morning, I'd like you just to close your eyes. Listen, I wasn't going to talk for too long this morning, but where that word says fan into flame. I want you to take that picture of what it is that God has placed in your heart, what he said, that word he said to you. Picture it. Grab hold of it again. I want you to reach your hands out. Just see it sitting there. Allow the Holy Spirit to come with his wind and fan it. Let him blow his wind on it. Fan it into flame again. He's not going to be like a little flint stick. See this little flicker? He's going to make this thing glow. He's going to make this thing burn red hot in your hands. Hey guys, you've got a Holy Spirit hot football in your hand. Don't drop it. The mistake we make is we come along at these times, we go, God, fan it into flame. And he does it. We get the hot football in the hand and we drop it because it's hot. Hold it. While your hands outstretched, say, God, I'm taking what it is you have. I want everything that the Holy Spirit is going to give me. I want it all in my life. Now I want you to take those hands. I want you to close them and draw them back and say, God, I'm taking it. I'm not dropping it, I'm taking it. I want to live beyond the capacity of what I've been so far. Come in your power, God, and anoint it. God, come and fan into flame and release your power in my life like it's never been before. Let me experience you in a greater way. God, I throw out the old wineskin. We throw it out, we get rid of it. God, refresh a new change. So you can pour in the new wine of the new purpose, of the new enabling, of the new experiences, of the new anointing that you're bringing onto my life. Don't let this be a Sunday morning experience. This needs to be a daily experience. We can take this and take this beyond the walls of this place and touch the community. Let God fan that thing back into flame this morning. Don't pack it back into the old wineskin again. Allow him to, whatever that wineskin is, whatever it looks like, whatever it needs to be, allow the Holy Spirit to come and refresh and renew, rebuild, and reset so that you can come back to that place and say, God, pour in your new wine and you're going to be stretched. You're going to be molded. You're going to be shaped, but it's not going to burst. You're going to hang on to that hot Holy Spirit football and you're going to grab it and run with vigor. We're going to see lives changed, people. We're going to see this community transformed. We're going to see things happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not because it's 2024 and the start of a new year. It's because we're going to surrender ourselves to him. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do what he wants to do. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to change and shape us in the way that he wants to do it. Take it and run with it. Now, I believe God wants to do some business with some people this morning. Now, where you've taken those things and put them down, he wants to come and have you pick it up and fan that flame into a massive bushfire. He wants to equip you and show you how to be able to hold and run that Holy Spirit football from one end of the ground to the other and not drop it. Too many times, and I'm guilty. If I'm the first person who has, I'm guilty. The God's come and he's done something, and we he's fanned that flame in our hands and we drop it. It's too hot. Oh God, I can't hold it. I'm saying, God, no more. I want to hold that thing and I want to grab it and I want to bring it here. Because he's given it to us to hold it. It's for us. We've got to take it. Not hold it out for him to fan and then drop it. We've got to take it. There's some people this morning that need to take back what it is that God's promised, what God said, what God's done. God wants to transform and change our lives in a massive way. The 2024 is going to look like something completely different that you've never, ever completely thought about. In your life, in the life of this church, in the reach of this church into the community, God can make and will make a statement if we're willing to submit ourselves and put ourselves in the place where we can be stretched and remoulded and changed into the likeness of what he wants us to be. So as we go forward, we go forward into our jobs, into whatever we would normally do, into our school places, whatever it is. Your mere presence will bring conviction of sin. Your mere presence brings the power and the anointing of Almighty God. The Holy Ghost in you is the same. And so therefore we should be able to be and do the same. We shouldn't be any longer speaking in the past tense about what the Holy Spirit did back then. It's the same Holy Spirit that wants to unleash that power in each one of our lives from this point on. Not tomorrow, from this point to this morning, 11:13 a.m. on Sunday morning. He wants to unleash that power right now if you'll let him do it. If you'll submit yourself and say, God, yes, I take it. I take it. I want your power to unleash in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to transform my thinking. Transform the way I look at it. Change the lens on my eyes. Change the way I perceive things so that I see things the way you would have me see it. Will you submit yourself to it this morning? If you will, God will do something powerful. God will do something awesome. And awesome meaning that something that I can't even comprehend. I can't comprehend walking onto a train carriage. Not we have trains in Tasmania, but walking onto a bus. I can't comprehend the fact that I could walk onto a bus and a whole busload of people could be convicted of their sin and come to Christ. I can't perceive that. But I can tell you, I know that God would do it if I'm in the right place, submitted to him. I know that he can do that. Not saying he won't do it. I'm saying I can't conceive that. But I know that if I'm submitted to him and in the right place with him, he would do that and could do that. So by the end of 2024, we get to December. We'll be able to look back and go, I can't believe you could have done that. There's no way I can believe that you could have orchestrated that situation and turned out this. And I pull back to our own personal situation. I couldn't believe that God could go and, well, I know that God can do things because God has done miraculous things in our life, but I couldn't believe the point at which I get the phone call from the surgeon to say that there's nothing wrong with Fiona's heart valve. That is something that in me it was hard to really conceive. I can stand here and say, I believe God can heal. And I do believe God can heal. I believe God can change medical circumstances. But to see it happen in front of my own eyes is a transformative experience. Allowing yourself to be in that place where God can do that. And you will see those sort of transformative things and greater, because his word says, greater than these things you will do because I have gone to the Father. Not me, Jesus has gone to the Father. Can I encourage you this morning? Take it. Fan it. allow God to do what he wants to do with it. Because he will do something absolutely amazing and miraculous. Don't leave this place this morning if God really is impressing something on you this morning. Do business with him if you need to, because he's here to do business and change and transform. He doesn't want to do anything else. It's all for our good. He wants to do good in your life. More than good, he wants to do great in your life. He wants to do awesome in your life. Let him do it. Don't leave this place without him doing something, if that's what he's stirring in your heart. Let him just have his way. Man, just imagine in mind's eye what if God has his way in each one of us and we come together and put all these giftings and anointing and enabling together in one place. How unstoppable are we going to be? How unstoppable is the gates of hell are we going to be? Can I encourage you, be here. You know, we have times, you know, I have to work, that's fine, it's all good. When you can be here, be here. Bring that extra piece of the power and the anointing. You know, when people aren't here, that's fine. But we miss out. We're missing pieces. You know, I'm missing power. I'm missing anointing because there are people that aren't here that are bringing those giftings in together. Come and be here, people. Come and be here. Bring it together. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here or you're watching online and you're going, hey, that's great, that sounds good, but I don't know what it's all about. Now's a great time to find out what it's all about and say, hey, Jesus, come in. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for going my own way. Come into my life and make me new. And he will. And he'll start to do the amazing. It's simple as that. You know, we could all pray a sinner's prayer right now. And that's fine. But I'd encourage you, if you are feeling that way this morning, if God is saying something, pressing something on you, take 5 minutes. Pray to God and just say in your own words, forgive me. Make me new. Make me new so I can be new in you. Accept his forgiveness. If you do that, great. Seek one of us out. If you're online, get tap us with a message. We've just got a few things we want to be able to give you to help you along the journey. Because it's an exciting journey you get to go on. It's a fantastically awesome, exciting journey. We want to help you experience and get the most out of that. Now, as the worship team just pick up, and I want you just to be able to have that moment with God and allow him to come and experience him in the way that he wants to be realized in your life this morning. I really want you to know it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that's going to come and empower your life. Empower my life. Empower the life of this church. It's not about Dave. It's about you and me who come together to bring that. And God will pour the new wine in. He'll bring the refreshing, the transformation. And everything that's good that's him is embodied in that. He doesn't bring one thing. He brings all of himself in his completeness and his fullness into your life to do wonderful and great things. Thanks, Ben.